With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. I'd like to read the entire chapter with God's help.
Nađeno je da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Dela svetih apostola iz 26. glava. Dela apostolska 26. glava.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of the things, of these things before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. Much thanks belong to the Lord for the many blessings he has provided, for the beauty of the scripture, and for traveling mercies that he's provided to each of us to be able to assemble. As I greeted brothers as we came in, there was a sense of relief and joy and thankfulness that we've arrived safely. There's a sense of joy and happiness that Paul had to be able to testify of what Jesus Christ had done in his life to answer for the things that he was accused of the Jews. He raises his hand, which was probably bound with a chain, to demonstrate the injustice of his accusation, and begins explaining and giving his testimony. He shares what his life was before he met the Lord upon the road to Damascus, and then how he occupied his time in fulfilling the command and calling that the Lord made upon his life in the years that would follow and in the time since then. Festus responds with an accusation against him, and King Agrippa is more contemplative. He's thinking about what Paul said, but he does not go all the way with accepting and believing, because he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And it is at that crossing point, at that precipice, where decisions are made, where we are confronted with the truth that will determine the path upon which we walk, whether it is the path that is straight and narrow in obedience and faith towards Jesus Christ, or one that is broad and that many go on. Almost persuaded. How many times almost persuaded? How many times, yes, I'm willing, but just if I could see something like Paul did, maybe we say to ourselves. Maybe if I could see the light, then I would be convinced and I would go forward. The Word instructs us to have faith in God. And that faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And Jesus tells Thomas and the disciples, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Are we with excuse if we do not see something like Paul did? No, we do not have excuse, because the Word of God teaches us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Talks about John the Baptist that was sent to bear witness of the light, but was not that light. But speaks of Jesus and saying, "He is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." The words of Jesus Christ are well known to us, just like the words of the scripture were well known to Agrippa. And we've felt the convicting power of those words. We know that the light has shone into dark places within our hearts and revealed things that we don't like to show and we don't like to admit. If that is our testimony, if we can say that, yes, I've heard the word and I know what I need to do, then yes, indeed, the light has shone upon your path when you were going astray and where you were rebelling against Jesus Christ and doing the things that are contrary to him. And you have no excuse. And if Paul were here today, he would preach, repent and bring forth works meet for repentance. Demonstrate the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection by submitting your heart and your life unto him and obeying his word instead of kicking against the pricks and turning away and being almost persuaded. There is a trap that is described in Apostle Paul as he describes his life. If you would read just until verse 11, and you were a Jew of the time, you would hear Apostle Paul's words, you would think, this man is very religious. He's very sincere in his beliefs. He seems to be a pretty good Jew. And actually, he's head and shoulders above the rest. He's a very religious person. He's following the things that he's told. But Apostle Paul's testimony of how he summarized that life was that he was doing things that were contrary to Jesus. In their time, they valued their prestige and position in the religion of the Jews and valued that higher than that of Jesus and did contrary to the word of Jesus Christ. And that was your pretty much your normal person. This was what most of the Jews were doing. Just kind of going through the motions of the Jews' religion and being contrary to Jesus, opposing his teachings, opposing what he stood for. This is a really good description of the broad way that excludes Jesus but likes to be thought well of by other people, and so does what is necessary to put on the facade that we are playing the part. Fooling other people, being insincere to that which we know is true, but having the comforts of the acclaim of other Jews, Apostle Paul could quiet the conscience because it felt so good. Today, Christianity is one of the powerhouses of religious thought and aligned very much with the kingdoms of this world, by and large. And it's not a despised religion everywhere in this world, in our culture. And yet, what is it that the masses are following and are embracing and yet excluding and contradicting Jesus Christ? It's not the Jews' religion that we struggle with. It's our wallets and our bank accounts. It's materialism. This is the common path that people take today and exclude the teaching of Jesus Christ, who says here that there's forgiveness that's available and an inheritance among the saints. Jesus taught us not to lay up treasures here upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But to lay up treasures in heaven. That means that we are to use our life and our possessions and the material blessings that God has given us to promote the kingdom of God, to promote the spreading of the gospel, to help those who are in need, who are suffering and who are lacking. And not to reserve a pile for ourselves. That pile provides some sense of comfort or security. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we don't have to worry about too much. But it also robs us of fully trusting, of fully being dependent upon the Lord to provide our daily needs, our daily bread. Because we have so much. And that's an appealing path to take. And many take it. A broad way that many go in thereat that excludes the teachings of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was on. And we can take any number of Jesus' teachings, consider them in our lives, and find ourselves in need to repent, in need to turn around and to change our ways, and need to demonstrate the work of God in our hearts, these fruits of repentance, these works that are meet, that are appropriate in accompanying the change that we testify of. We can take many of those passages of Scripture, hear them, and respond. And that is what the Word is calling us to. That is what the preaching of Apostle Paul, as he describes himself here, the preaching of repentance, the preaching of doing works meet for repentance, would have entailed. It is what we would hear if we were in Ephesus hearing Apostle Paul preach, if we were in Philippi, if we were in Corinth, if we were in these churches of Thessalonica, to turn to God, away from the idols of our day, away from covetousness, which is idolatry. And that is what the Thessalonians did. We read in Paul's letter to them that the word had come to them, not only in the words of men, but in spirit and in power, and that their faith to Godward was spoken of. Their response to the word of God and the commandments of Jesus Christ was well known, and Apostle Paul didn't need to speak anything about their testimony, but their works and their life demonstrated it themselves. For he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I believe it's John or James that ends his epistle with, "My little children, flee from idolatry. Flee from the idols of this world and repent and turn to God. Love him and obey him, for he is the light that is lighting to our hearts, shining the light upon the idols and the things that we place our hope in that are not God, that need to be removed with God's help. And he offers that help. He knows that without him, we are nothing, and that we could never be able to fulfill. And so he explicitly says to Paul on the road that Jesus is sending him to open the eyes of men and women who are rebelling and contradicting the words of Jesus Christ. Open their eyes, let them see where they lack. But not just to send them away to feel miserable, but to turn them from the darkness and bring them to the light, where things are exposed, yes, but also where the path is made clear, where the help is made known, and that we would be turned, each and every one of us, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And that is sometimes a scary idea, to change masters, because we've been going one way so long, and it seems like everybody else is just kind of following in that path. But to change and to change course and to turn to the Lord and to trust in him, something maybe you've never done before, something that seems scary. But there are two masters. One offers you temporary security and comforts. That is Satan. But the end is death, destruction, corruption. And you'll have to say goodbye to it all. The other is our Lord. And the treasures and the content that he provides is greater than anything that this world can offer. If they would but open their eyes, Jesus says, and turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, the riches of glory that are found in Christ Jesus are available, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, that they might be free from these shackles that bind us to disobedience and being far from God, that we would be delivered from the uncertainty of what will happen when we close our eyes in death. Do we know? Are we assured of the things that Jesus Christ has taught? Are we on the path that will claim those promises? Are we giving the diligence to the inheritance that is above? The same diligence that we give to the ideas of inheritance to our children? May we give even more. May we give ourselves fully to the kingdom of God and laying up those treasures that we might receive the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Those that are washed, those that are cleansed, those that are set aside in the service of Jesus Christ, to demonstrate his kingdom and to occupy with the things that we have for the promotion of his kingdom and not for our kingdom here upon this earth. He's calling men and women, one and all, come be a part of this. Be a part of the work that I have for you. The light is shining. The truth is known and is preached. And Apostle Paul tells Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." In other words, I was not disobedient to what God revealed to me that day and the days that followed, because by God's grace and by God's strength, He has given me a new purpose. He has set my feet upon a path that leads to eternal life. And He gave Himself fully to that. And Festus thought, this is crazy. You're mad to give yourself so fully to these things that you've learned. And yes, the world will think it folly. But the world will praise, and the world will pat on the back when we use the things that we have for our own pleasure and build up our kingdoms here on this earth. They will think it folly that we don't want to hold on so tightly to the things that we have here. They will think it folly that we don't go to places where we don't belong, where sin reigns. Places physically and also places in our hearts with discontent, anger, malice, and strife. But stay with Jesus. Remain with Him. Abide in Him. This is what Apostle Paul would have preached to the Gentiles. King Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." So close. The light is shining to our hearts. And as we reflect in this day, what the Lord is speaking to us, what the Lord wants us to turn around from, and how the Lord wants us to occupy until He comes, in the many ways that we can serve to promote the kingdom of God within our homes, within our church, with our neighbors. May the Lord seek our hearts. And may we respond like Apostle Paul. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, the word that came from heaven that spoke to my heart, that the Lord is speaking to me. I will obey, I will follow with His help. Apostle Paul, that was his prayer for one and all, that we would almost and altogether be such as he was, completely dedicated to the kingdom of God and its promotion, its growth, and its blessing. The Word of God teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. Maybe we can just read that in conclusion. The fruit of the Spirit and the word of the Spirit and light of Jesus Christ that is speaking to our hearts when we come together and when we read the word alone and when we are praying in our homes seeking the Lord's guidance. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. We can be set at liberty from this world, even if the world would put us in shackles. We can be set at liberty for the forgiveness that is available in Jesus Christ and the blessing of the inheritance that is to be revealed when we submit to the Spirit of God and follow in His ways. May God lead us to that end. May God help us to value and to cherish His calling that He's given us, not to downplay it, but to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in all that we say, do, and think. May God bless His word. Amen.
There was the hymn writer as we sang, and it must have had an impact on the brother as he stood to actually read these words. And And it causes us to also stop and think, now we have heard the Savior reveal his word and his will. And what is that? We read it. Jesus told the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm going to deliver you to the Gentiles. He says, to open their eyes. This is the word, this is the will of God. To open the eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is the will of God. We have heard the Savior speak, as the songwriter said. He revealed his word and his will unto all of us. And as, you know, oftentimes when we read the word and we hear it and we feel it ourselves so often, we read it and we get something new from it every day. And as the brother was expounding on the word, he first started and talked about that Paul said, I did that which was contrary to the name of Jesus. And after mentioning it a couple times, it hits me. And then we think about Paul did contrary to that which was Jesus and his will. And we know that Paul, or Saul, hated Jesus. He hated him. And that's why he was doing contrary to what he said, because he hated him. If he loved him, he never would have done that. But he hated Jesus. And he actually imprisoned Christians. And that's what he was doing. He's pursuing Christians to imprison them, to make them suffer, to turn them away from serving this man that he hated. And so he did contrary to what Jesus had taught. And the words of Jesus are so hard because they're so black and white. They divide. And that is his word. And you know, he says you will either hate one and love the other. So you cannot serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. Well, Saul was not serving Jesus, so he hated him. But you know, we reject that word from Jesus because we feel, no, we don't hate you. We just want to do contrary to your will. And we think that we can do that and still claim that we love you. Jesus says, no, you don't. No, you don't. Paul said, I was doing contrary to the will of God. That's it. You either do his will or you do contrary. When you do contrary, you show that you hate him. And we're going to all say, me included, but no, I don't hate him. Jesus said, you love one and you hate the other. That's black. That's white. That's a hard saying. I don't receive it well. I don't receive it well. And I know you don't either. Because it goes against human nature. Human nature that we are to die to be born again. And Agrippa, who comes from the lineage of one of the worst families that are described in Scripture. We read about Ahab and Jezebel not long ago. Was it last Sunday? Herod's family was far worse than them. It's described that way. And he's standing before Agrippa. But he's not in defense of himself, because he's really not. Because they can't do anything to him. He already appealed to Caesar. That's what it says in the last verse. He's going to Rome. He appealed to Caesar. So they're not going to judge him. And he doesn't care about that. He's seizing a moment to speak, to preach Jesus Christ. All those that are around him are listening, and he tells Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And as was mentioned, almost that persuaded me to be a Christian. And dear ones, that is the category, sadly, that many are in here today. Because I know when you hear the will of God, you hear Jesus came, he says, to take away the power of Satan. Take away the power of Satan. We know what the power of Satan is. It's one who hates us, can't stand us. Imagine that. hating you, wishing you evil, wanting evil for you, and you're going to say, yes, sir, I'm going to do what you say. Human nature would say, no, I would never. But the Bible is described, Jesus describes Satan as one who hates us. And he loves us. Jesus loves us. And we don't gravitate towards the one who loves us. We gravitate to the one who hates us. We're doing contrary to the will of Jesus Christ. And we think we're going to be saved. The Bible makes it clear. There's going to be a camp of those almost. And dear ones, every one of us that are here today came, we might have come as youth, younger, those of you who are here, because you're supposed to come. Your parents come, you come with them. You heard his will, though. You know what his will is. You know his will. Now, you will one day stand before the judgment of God. You will. And if it was almost, I don't know you. If I did contrary, I don't know you. And so we can only say amen to his judgment. That's it. What else can we say? We finished the hymn and it sounded so powerful when we sang it. His word my spirit doth sustain. How are we going to make it in the coming days? By his word. With it he daily feeds me. This is Jesus, how he taught his disciples to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, with it he daily feeds me upon my journey over the plain. This is a journey we're all in. He's going to sustain me with his word, my spirit. He's going to sustain me. He's going to feed me, give me my daily bread so that to his glory he leads me, and by his strong, delivered from the power of Satan, being led by a strong but a gentle hand, one who is loving, one who sees me when I have failed, when I have done contrary, and I recognize it, and I repent. He's gentle. But he's strong as he tells me, you are in sin. And he guides me to the heavenly land, which is each one of our's desire. So may God bless his word in this day upon our hearts, that having made it here and having been around his word, they would truly receive that blessing from him. Amen.